Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
There were many occasions, particularly in the last 2.5 years, where all that surrounded the show, but never the show itself, was just too much for me.
Well, fans and detractors of Countdown with Keith Olbermann on MSNBC alike were equally surprised by the quiet sign-off to his show on Friday. That was a little bit of it. We'll hear some classic Keith in a minute. Without much fanfare or any warning, Olbermann announced that Friday was to be his last program, setting off a weekend-long media storm about why he left the show and where he would end up. For example, Josh Marshall, who was a guest on the final program from the liberal website Talking Points Memo, said afterwards that he had no idea that it was to be the final episode of Countdown until he got home and read about it later. So what's next for the often bombastic but ratings popular Olbermann, and what does his departure do to the landscape of MSNBC in specific? As Comcast is about to take over there from General Electric and cable television in general, we have a poll, a thoroughly unscientific opinion poll on our politics website. It's a free country. What do you make of Keith Olbermann's departure and the future of the media landscape? It's good that cable TV will have one less hyperpolarized host. It's a shame. We need strong partisan voices. Or, I don't mind opinion, but I didn't like Olbermann. And listeners, you can call up with that right now on the air as well. You can register your responses at itsafreecountry.org and call up right now. What do you make of Keith Olbermann's departure and the future of the media landscape? It's good that cable TV will have one less hyperpolarized host. It's a shame. We need strong partisan voices. Or, I don't mind opinion, but I didn't like Olbermann. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And joining us now is Howard Kurtz, the Washington bureau chief at the Daily Beast and longtime media watcher. Hi, Howard. Welcome back to WNYC. Thanks for coming.
Thanks very much.
So what happened here? Do you know? Do you have sources? Was this a political purge of Olbermann by Comcast? Was it, you know, just he's always been a difficult character and it's amazing that he lasted 8 years in any job? Where are you on this?
That's quite a multiple choice exam there. It was not a purge by Comcast, I can tell you that, and I have lots of sources. I am not surprised because a couple months ago when I was reporting on Olbermann's suspension, your listeners may recall he contributed to some Democratic congressional candidates, got suspended for a couple of days. There was a war between Keith Olbermann and the top managements of MSNBC and NBC. Things got so bad that Olbermann at one point indicated that he was going to go public. He was going to air his grievances on Good Morning America and Larry King. Phil Griffin, the president of MSNBC, threatened to fire him if he did. From that point, relations had been so poisoned, they so deteriorated after years. You know, he's always been a brilliant but difficult character to deal with. That a divorce was inevitable, and in recent weeks the terms of the exit from his $30 million contract were negotiated, and then he made the announcement, as you said, Friday night.
And Comcast, no role in your opinion? Let me read from the New York Post on Saturday. Obviously, Rupert Murdoch, who also owns Fox, his New York Post, quotes something that Comcast chairman Brian Roberts said when he was asked, I guess a year ago, when they were already trying to acquire NBC, and asked what he would do if Olbermann was attacking Republican members of Congress on his watch. Quote, let's have that conversation in 12 months when we're playing with live ammo, Robert said darkly, wrote the Post. Does that mean anything?
Well, Comcast was a factor, no question about it, but not in the sense that there was any overt directive or communication from Comcast executives. It was looming in the background, both Keith Olbermann and the bosses at NBC, anticipating the takeover, which actually will happen at the end of this week, knew quite well that Comcast is a more buttoned-down corporate culture that was not likely to give an Olbermann as much running room to tolerate some of his more strident, more incendiary commentary. And so I think while NBC in the end had had enough of MSNBC's biggest star, and it's a loss for NBC, and we can talk about that in a moment, I think Olbermann wanted out too. I think he had a view of himself that he'd become bigger than the network, that he wants to say what he wants to say without any interference from management. And so in the end, I think it was like a bad marriage where both sides, you know, got their lawyers and wanted to get out.
Is there any reason to think that if Comcast is making money from the remaining liberal lineup, Rachel Maddow, Ed Schultz, Dylan Radigan, that they would reject those dollars in favor of some other kind of format for ideological reasons?
I don't think so. I mean, the one thing you can say about the people at Comcast who have built this giant cable company is they're good businessmen. And, you know, MSNBC was floundering for years. It had no identity. It seemed to change programs every 12 minutes. I mean, whether you like or dislike Keith Olbermann, I would say that he almost single-handedly revived that network by pulling it to the left. All of these hosts like Rachel Maddow and Ed Schultz, who were hired in his wake, were hired after he had helped establish MSNBC as a liberal alternative to Fox News. So if you look at that, I think the people at Comcast, whatever their own personal political views, would have to be cognizant of the fact that the ratings have been rising in the last couple of years, that MSNBC has overtaken CNN in prime time. And while I think they're not going to want incendiary commentary, I would be surprised if there is any sort of outright ideological interference. Yeah.
Now, for those of you not familiar with Keith Olbermann, or for those who want just one more taste, here is a minute and a half of one of Keith Olbermann's special comments from May 14th, 2008.
Finally, tonight, as promised, a special comment on two topics a lot of us had foolishly thought and had naively hoped we would not again have to address, and a third topic nobody thought a president would ever seriously mention in public, unless perhaps he'd just been hit in the head with something and was not in full possession of his faculties. How he expressed his empathy to the families of the dead in Iraq by giving up golf. The president has resorted anew to the sleaziest fear-mongering and mass manipulation of an administration of a public life dedicated to realizing the lowest of our expectations. And he has now applied these poisons to the 2008 presidential election on behalf of the party at whose center he and Mr. McCain lurk. Mr. Bush has predicted that the election of a Democratic president could, quote, eventually lead to another attack on the United States. This ludicrous, infuriating, holier-than-thou, and most importantly, boneheadedly wrong statement came yesterday during an interview with Politico.com and online users of Yahoo. The question was phrased as follows: if we were to pull out of Iraq next year, what's the worst that could happen? What's the doomsday scenario? And the president replied, doomsday scenario, of course, is that extremists throughout the Middle East would be emboldened, which would eventually lead to another attack on the United States. The biggest issue we face is, it's bigger than Iraq, it's this ideological struggle against cold-blooded killers who will kill people to achieve their political objectives. Mr. Bush, at long last, has it not dawned on you that the America you have now created includes cold-blooded killers who will kill people to achieve their political objectives? They are those in or formerly in your employ who may yet be charged someday with war crimes.
Keith Olbermann from his May 14th, 2008 program on MSNBC, and that's the style of commentary that you like. You will not get it on MSNBC after his final show on Friday night. You may get it elsewhere after a period of time, and we'll talk more about that with Howard Kurtz from The Daily Beast. But Howard, stay with us. Let's sample some opinion coming in on the phones. Mm-hmm. Brenda in Sandy Hook, you're on WNYC. Hello, Brenda.
Hello. I just wanted to say that, yes, he can be harsh, but he always puts his money where his mouth is. Whenever he has taken up a cause, and on one occasion he donated as much as $50,000 and encouraged people to help out with the free clinics in those cities that were so hard hit with poverty and joblessness, and he collected thousands and thousands of dollars just by putting the money where his mouth is.
Brenda, thank you very much. Jeff in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. My household are avid MSNBC watchers, mostly because you can't find that left or center-left programming throughout the day anywhere else. And I'm glad to see him gone, quite frankly. I've been watching him for a long time. I've gotten tired of the bombast. For $7 million a year they were paying Keith Olbermann, they could have gotten somebody for a couple million dollars and spent money on reporters. We're cutting back on newsrooms and not getting firsthand information anymore. I want to see something more like Democracy Now or something like even Al Jazeera reporting, something with quality that can help educate people instead of beating the drums just to work up people into a froth. These are important issues, and we need facts.
Do you feel differently about Rachel Maddow or any of the other shows?
I've watched her since she started. I watched her since she was a guest. I felt, again, I'm no media critic, so this is certainly my own opinion, but I think she started off strong. I think she started getting to the bombast also. For the past couple of months, she's gotten right back on target, which she does really well. She zeroes in. I actually really enjoyed when I watched even Chris Hayes pinch hit and sub for some of these people, because he's another guy who's a journalist who's out there reporting, and they just seem to be able to peel things back. Mano does a very good job, but I can't sit through the Ed show because then there's another bombastic diatribe.
All right. Thank you very much. Cheryl in Denville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I think Keith Olbermann is a tremendous loss to MSNBC. I mean, he really made the network what it is today. Before he had come on, Chris Matthews was the, and I use air quote here, was the star of the network. But once Keith Olbermann came on board, it's like he even liberated Matthews to loosen up a little bit and go ahead and speak more to Democratic sensibilities.
Mm. Chris Matthews, yeah.
Yeah, but I know this is about Keith. I'm trying to decide whether or not I'm going to boycott MSNBC. I know there are a lot of people who feel that way. I just don't want to sabotage the other hosts because I do like Rachel. I do like Ed, but I also want to find a meaningful way to register my displeasure with MSNBC, and what better way than through ratings.
Thank you. And Maytel in Edison, you're on WNYC. Maytel, hello.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
Okay, thank you.
I'm a casual watcher of MSNBC, and I have to say that I find Keith Olbermann to be grating on my nerves, but I really love Rachel Maddow, and I think she should be given that time slot. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Well, Howard Kurtz, is the 8 o'clock time slot a plum compared to Rachel Maddow's 9 o'clock time slot?
No, I think 9 o'clock is just as good for her. That is where she is staying. Lawrence O'Donnell, the former Democratic Senate staffer who started his show at 10 p.m., is moving into Keith's old slot at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's already been decided. But, you know, interesting to hear the different thoughts. People are so emotional about this. And the clip that you played prompts two observations from me. One is that I think Olbermann peaked in a way during the Bush administration, because he was able to play offense and he really touched a nerve among liberal viewers who felt that the media had rolled over for George W. Bush on the Iraq invasion, and he just, you know, kind of channeled a lot of that anger. But particularly in this Obama era, as he got angrier, and I know that people at MSNBC and NBC who like Keith Olbermann, who are sympathetic to Keith Olbermann, feel like his anger kind of consumed him. I think he became more predictable, more strident, more partisan, and that even some liberals, and we heard from one earlier, got tired of him. And so I have a piece up in the Daily Beast this morning about the limits of anger as a tool on television. Anger can work, particularly in primetime cable, but after a while it can distort, and it can also make you very difficult to deal with as an employee, which is what the NBC and MSNBC folks found, just as they found back in 1998 when Keith left MSNBC the first time with a blast at management.
Do you think the limits of anger apply to both sides? Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, would you analyze their success in similar terms?
Yes. In fact, I mentioned O'Reilly, Hannity, and Beck in this piece in the Daily Beast, saying that they also have clashed with Roger Ailes and people at Fox Management, not because of the content of what they're saying, but when you have Beck calling the president of the United States a racist, when you had Hannity who was doing a show last year or would plan to do a show at a Cincinnati Tea Party event, and Roger Ailes canceled that and pulled him back, feeling that was just one step too far, too partisan. Look, I mean, it's no secret that Fox and MSNBC have both prospered in primetime by catering to largely partisan audiences, and that's fine. But when you have people who seem so angry, and I think even people who like Beck question some of the statements that he has made, some of the more inflammatory rhetoric that he has used, that can be a problem for management, just as it has been for Olbermann on the MSNBC side.
Do you think that this is part of the end of an era of the ever more inflammatory rhetoric on cable television and maybe even talk radio? Has the public maxed out? Of course, they're talking about a new civility since the Tucson shootings, you know, among the political class.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that has long-term reverberations, short-term reverberations, whether it really affects talk radio. Mostly I've heard the conservative hosts rail against the notion that they need to tone themselves down, that's
right.
Kind of the government trying to limit their First Amendment speech rights. So, I mean, commercially, where do you think that goes?
I'd like to say, yes, this is we're ushering in a new era of civility, but I don't really believe that to be the case. Certainly, you know, columnists and editorial writers would like everyone not to park their opinions at the door, but just to be a little less incendiary. But the fact is, you know, these are businesses. They are driven by ratings. And if you can get ratings on mostly conservative talk radio by being hot, to use a term in the medium, and the same thing applies to cable TV at night, then that's what's going to happen. But, you know, there is no question that MSNBC faces a challenge here. It just lost its biggest star, the guy who put up the biggest numbers. They would have been a lot more devastating to MSNBC had this happened a couple of years ago before developing hosts like Rachel Maddow and Ed Schultz. But they've got a void to fill, but I don't think that everybody is going to get a memo, therefore, saying, let's tone down the emotion. Mm-hmm. You know, Keith was Keith. He was unique. That's why Ben Affleck did the send-up on Saturday Night Live, because he could be so over the top.
Right. So where do you expect Olbermann to resurface, and do you expect him to resurface doing basically the same thing?
Well, not quite the same thing. For one thing, my understanding is that he's got to stay off television for 6 or 9 months, something like that. And one of the reasons you haven't heard him speaking out or MSNBC and NBC managers speaking out is they made a deal to have a period where they would stay quiet and not blast each other.
I read that he could go on radio, do radio show. He could do stuff on the Internet. True?
Yes, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I could definitely see Olbermann starting his own internet channel, doing videos for the net. I think he will relish the freedom of not having to worry about what some corporate suit at NBC or Comcast or General Electric thinks about what he has to say. He had about 300,000 people sign an online petition when he had that brief suspension over the Democratic contributions. That's a pretty strong fan base. Those are just people who bothered to sign on. So, the notion that Keith will just quietly fade away is completely wrong. We're going to hear a lot more from Olbermann. Whether it will be on another cable channel, I think, remains to be seen.
Howard Kurtz covers Washington and the media for The Daily Beast. Howard, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And remember, we have our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific opinion poll about Keith Olbermann on our politics website. It's a free country. What do you make of his departure? It's good that cable TV will have one less hyperpolarized host. It's a shame. We need strong partisan voices, or I don't mind opinion, but I didn't like Olbermann. Register your response at itsafreecountry.org. Coming up next, the rise and fall of the Korean greengrocer in Greater New York. Stay with us.